Your work's not going to miss you when you leave. So I was like, let me start focusing on my personal life. And I wanted to give Miami the fair shot of finding someone.
Welcome to the Brown Girl Podcast. This show was created to elevate the voices and perspectives of dual identity South Asians around the world. Here we have conversations on topics and issues that impact our community, as well as share the stories of personal successes and the struggles that often go unsaid. My name is Julie George, and I'm your host.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Brown Girl Podcast. On our last episode, we spoke with Bobby Siegel from the latest season of Indian Matchmaking Season 3. And today we are keeping the Indian matchmaking vibes going and sitting down with the lovely Aarthi Lalwani. Aarthi made a brief appearance on Season 2, and we see more of her story on Season 3. So if you didn't watch Season 3, forewarning you that there will be some spoilers in this episode. So in our conversation with Aarthi, we discuss how she got on Indian matchmaking, we get some insight into her life growing up, we talk about working with Simonti, and of course we delve into her relationship with Jamal, wedding planning, and the insider scoop on their relationship. I really want to thank Aarthi for taking the time to squeeze in recording this episode. We actually recorded this episode a few weeks back while she was traveling on the road, juggling work and promoting the show. So I appreciate her taking the time to do this. Here's Aarthi.
Hi, Aarthi. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Julie. Thank you for having me.
So tell us how the opportunity to participate as a cast member for Indian Matchmaking come up. Because if I remember correctly, I think you were briefly on Season 2, and obviously we saw your entire story unfold on Season 3. So tell us how this opportunity rose for you.
Yeah, so I was at the Mixer on Season 2. That was back in 2021. So I've been filming for a couple years now. I was, I think, originally slated for Season 2, and then my story kept evolving, and then, you know, it kind of just got pushed, which is perfectly fine. I started off the process early 2021 with a really good friend of mine, like a family friend, was on Season 1, and he's the one that connected me with one of the producers. So his name is Jay Wadwani. He went on a date with Aparna in Season 1. So he connected me and they reached out, and I just thought it was going to be like a date or two that I do, nothing like crazy, you know, and then fast forward to all of this.
Yeah. But when he reached out, you knew that it was going to be Indian Matchmaking.
Yeah, because that had already aired. It was in 2020, right? That had already just aired. And I was, you know, at the time I was very, very single. Like I was in Atlanta. I was not dating, nothing. So I was like, all right, let's try this.
I think I recall you mentioning on the show that you didn't really date much prior just because you were so focused on your career. Tell us a little bit about what your dating and relationship experiences were like before the show. And when did you decide, like, okay, now I'm going to make a conscious decision to prioritize dating and, you know, dating for the purposes of, quote, settling down?
So in 2021, summer of 2021, there's one month that was particularly difficult for me. And in that one month, a lot of things happened. I decided to move to Miami. So it's the first time that I had ever left Atlanta, and I decided to venture out on my own. I moved to Miami not knowing anybody. So realizing that off the bat, you have to be open, you have to be social, you have to meet people, whether it's friends or it's like someone you want to date, you have to meet those people. So that was already in my mindset. On top of that, I had just a little bit of a long story, but I had lost all my furniture because the moving company ended up being a scam. So I came down here with literally nothing. So I was starting all over fresh. And then 7 days later, my dad passed away. So then I was back in Atlanta. So like all of this happening in that month, it made me realize that like in a new city by myself, watching my mom kind of go and navigate a life on her own after being with my dad for 38 years, that like I didn't want to wait any longer to find someone. And I wanted to do like all and experience all these life things about traveling and like life itself with somebody. And the only thing that you can, you know, leave behind really in this world is memories and pictures and videos. And so I wanted to do that, and I wanted to share my life with someone, because when you work so much and you try to get to where you want, which is perfectly fine, your work's not going to miss you when you leave. You're always going to be that replaceable person. So I was like, let me start focusing on my personal life. And I wanted to give Miami the fair shot of finding someone.
Mm-hmm. So you live in Miami now. You mentioned you moved from Atlanta. So maybe just tell us about your background. Like, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? What do you do for work? I know you talked a little bit about what you do for work on the show, but give us a little rundown, I guess.
Sure. So I was born in Florida, raised in Atlanta. And so we were there since I was like 4. So Atlanta has always been a big thing for me. For my parents, they were always about 30 to 45 minutes away from where I lived. So I was constantly like there with them, you know, during the week. We would have dinner, we would hang out. And since my siblings at the time never lived in Atlanta, they lived somewhere else, I was always that, like, that child that was like, you know, my dad would call and be like, can you explain to me how to use Excel? I'm like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I was that child. During the pandemic, when they moved down, it was my chance to leave because they were perfectly fine being taken care of with my siblings around, right?
So your parents moved from Atlanta to Miami?
No, my parents were still in Atlanta. My siblings moved to Atlanta, and that's when I moved out.
Got it. Okay, so does your mom still live in Atlanta?
Yep. Both my siblings live there. So, yeah. And then just my background is that I work in compliance for cybersecurity, particularly in information security bases. And I've always been either traveling or remote. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. So with your career and your job working for the cybersecurity company, like, what was the reaction from your coworkers and colleagues to you being on the show? Like, how has that dynamic impacted your day to day at work and joining meetings and people recognizing you? Like, are people treating you differently? You know, what has that been like?
Okay, so it's been really interesting. So, like, I came down here for work yesterday and had dinner with my coworkers. And so, of course, they want to talk about the show. They want to, like, understand what's going on. And, like, the funniest reaction I got was, like, one of the guys yesterday was like, I didn't see your show. Just like, I just haven't seen it yet. But I heard last night that your fiance's jacked. I was like, okay. So they want to like talk about it. They want to ask how I got this experience and like what it was like, right? And then I've just had so many people like all over my LinkedIn, like reaching out. And it's like the amount of love I'm getting is tremendous. And to feel that way, because I really thought if I come out on a show, like someone's going to fire me. So. It's great to see the opposite reaction.
Yeah, that's great. What would you say was the best and worst part about being on a reality dating show?
So I think the best part of this particular show is that the production side of it was phenomenal for me. They were wonderful in every aspect. And we spent so much time filming that they captured so much of my love story. Yeah, it looks like it's like 4 weeks in all those 4 episodes that I'm in, but it's not. It's 2 years. So to spend like that much time with these people, like they truly become like another part of your family, right? And they see you through, for me, they see me through a ton of grief, a ton of stuff that I was going through. And then they see a lot of happiness. So for them to follow my journey that way, it was just amazing. Like that was like, for me, the best part was being able to do that with the team, plus being able to meet these cast members that have now become my close friends, right? So those are really truly the best parts. I think the hardest part of it is now. It's a lot. Overwhelmingly, it's wonderful. I'm getting so much love and appreciation for a lot of different things. And I really love that. But there's also, you know, with it, some hate. And that's always hard to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could be the nicest person and the internet will still find ways to be extremely scrutinizing. And even if you try to avoid reading the comments, like, they have a way of finding their way to you.
Yeah, it's difficult, but, you know, it only makes you stronger. And people want to hate, let them hate. That's their prerogative. I did this very publicly. And so I have to own up to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what's really cool about your story specifically is we see your progression all the way to getting engaged. And now you have this memory that's permanently documented. Your kids and grandkids are going to be able to like watch this. And it's like, what a rare, unique thing, you know?
Yeah. And something that people don't know is that my father filmed too. So, like, I have that footage, thank God. But my father filmed, and as part of this, I have so much love and respect for the team because of that, right? And now I have a proposal.
Yeah.
As well. And then just so much. Like, part of your life, things change. Literally, things change in 2 years. Your body changes. You go through grief. Like, things go up and down. So it's very hard to, like, to say that anything is stagnant and to watch, like, that change was, it was, I mean, I cried myself when I saw it.
Yeah. That's really also great that you had a positive experience with the production process and the production team for this, the show Indian Matchmaking, because I know there's some other reality TV shows out there right now that, you know, there's a lot of stuff, lawsuits and negativity surrounding the castmates and their experience with the production team.
Hey, podcast fam, if you watched Aarti's story on the latest season 3 of Indian Matchmaking, you probably saw the beautiful custom engagement ring that was designed for her by the Sonu company. Sonu is a premium jewelry brand founded by two South Asian sisters, Payal and Kajal Vida. From timeless necklaces to elegant bracelets, and of course the most stunning engagement rings, Sonu's collection of authentic and long-lasting jewelry has something for everyone. Visit their website today at www.sonucompany.com, that's S-O-N-U company.com, and use code BGP15 for 15% off your order. And now back to our episode.
I'll say one thing about this. So yes, we had a great positive experience and everything. And then I think everybody was really frustrated that they would get invested in these characters on the show and their story would just fizzle out or fade or drop, right? And so you're wondering what happened to that person. And so for me, I feel like it was so phenomenal that even though Seema did not work out for me, I did find someone. I do have an ending for you to watch. And it's like, it's a perfectly wrapped up, like, little story that you don't get in any of the other, you know, characters. And I love that.
Yeah. Would you do another reality TV show?
That's a heavy question, Julie. I don't know. I think if the opportunity and what it would look like arise, like if it was, you know, the same team again, possibly, yes. Mm-hmm. But not, most of the reality shows are dating shows, right? So right. I don't think I'm in a position to do a dating show.
Right. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about Seema Aunty. So she is definitely, I think, becoming somewhat of a polarizing figure. You know, there's a lot of backlash towards her traditional, perhaps outdated views on relationships and expectations for a partner and things like that. What was your overall experience working with Seema Aunty? And let's start there. What was your overall experience working with Seema Aunty?
I mean, you said it. Seema Aunty is an auntie, right? Like that's the end of all of it, right? So she has those traditional views that sometimes like my mom even has. Right. Uh-huh. And so they believe it because they went through this in arranged marriage and they believe it works. I personally don't know if that's the right way. I don't know if love marriage is the right way. And I was willing to try either or. Right. Like I've been on dating apps before. It never was really great. I tried with Seema. The thing that I feel like you get from a dating app that you don't get from Seema Aunty is that you get the options. Right. So when you first look at someone, it's always an attraction base. And then, okay, fine, move past that. You meet that person. If there's still no spark or attraction or chemistry, or you just see it as just friends, I think you very instantly know if you're going to meet that person again or not, right? That's something that Seema Aunty did not understand. And we did get into a slightly heated discussion, which you saw only, I think, a part of, which was perfectly fine because we just have our different values and bases. And being someone that was born in America, grew up in America, I'm not going to settle. That was something that my dad instilled in me. I was never going to settle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you did a great job of standing up for yourself in like a respectable way, but it was also slightly comedic, you know? But yeah, I thought you did a good job of getting your point across of like, hey, you know, I am going to be a little more decisive. And if I don't feel that inkling or that spark, it's not something that I'm going to pursue. And sometimes you just have a gut feeling that you should just go with, you know, like I do think there's something to be said about sometimes a spark doesn't show up on the first date. It shows up on the second date. But at the same time, like your gut intuition is there for a reason and you don't need to force yourself to continue giving someone a chance when you just flat out don't want to.
I mean, to be fair, I did go out with one of the guys a couple times. And for me, I just felt like it wasn't going to work. He wasn't in the same place that I was. And I think that as women, we understand that men can kind of be a little childish, right? So they have to be at a place where they're ready for that relationship, that commitment, right? And I truly just felt that. I felt like he was a great guy, but it was just not going to work for me and what I was ready to commit to. And very clearly, you see that in my journey, that I was ready for that commitment.
Right. I liked what you said, that at the end of the day, see, Monty's an auntie, right? Like, she gets a lot of hate, but I would rather just give her the benefit of doubt because she comes from a different generation, and it would be an unrealistic expectation for me to think that someone similar to my parents are going to have their minds and attitudes like shift overnight or over a short period of time. I do think that she is starting to grapple with the fact that like this new generation wants different things, right? Like she's still over there pushing her 60-70% thing. But I do think she's like starting to see that like, okay, this is a different landscape. Women
are. I think we see that like with her, when she has that conversation with her sister about me, right? Like, I think that's where we kind of see it, where she's like, listen, like, my America clients are not looking for what I want, you know? And at the same time, like, and I've said this kind of before, is that Simonti believes that marriages are made with families. Mm-hmm. In America, your marriage is your family. So, you know, you can welcome like your input from like your immediate family, but most of the time it's not welcome. It's like, mm-hmm. It's part of like your process, but your family is with your significant other, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of spark. I know you mentioned it, but on the show, we heard Simonti, like, she's not really fully understanding this idea of spark or like what chemistry is. Like, can you talk a little bit more about how important you think the spark is on a first date? Like, if it doesn't show up on a first date, should someone continue to go on more dates to see if the spark can be created? Like, tell us a little bit more about what you think about that.
So it was really difficult to explain the word spark to Simonti. I think I tried to do it in every respectable way. I was like, there's no spark, there's no chemistry, there's no attraction. None of it got through without, you know, blatantly saying like, I don't feel sexually attracted. I don't think she understood that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was hard. Even my brother tried to step up and explain it to her, and she still wouldn't, you know, I don't think she cares about any of that. And back in the day, that would have been fine. Right.
Right.
But as a female in my 30s that already has a career, already has like everything set up, if I'm going to add someone to my life, it's going to be like for a really good reason. I'm not just going to add someone just for the hell of it. So,
yeah,
explaining like spark to her was very difficult. But I do think that spark is important, or chemistry is important, or attraction. I do think that it can surface over time. I think there are like a lot of relationships that start off as like friendships and then end up like blossoming into a full-grown relationship, because over time that spark then translates to a personality attraction, right? So that's also really important. So it's not just like the attraction that you see physically, but it's also like, can his personality or her personality mesh with mine?
Yeah.
And so when sometimes I find funny guys, their personality even more attractive. Like if you can make me laugh, I think you're even more attractive than what I originally thought. And so personality can either add or subtract from that attraction. So I think that dating is just a game, and you have to figure out what's important to you. And at the end of the day, like, there's attraction comes from so many different things. It's not just like physically, like the attributes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree that it's possible for chemistry to evolve the more that you get to know someone, the more you become attracted to someone's personality, their humor. So let's talk about Jamal. So we know, you know, the season was filmed a while ago. It seemed like there wasn't much of a filming break between season 2 and season 3. It seemed like season 3 picked up right after season 2 ended. So a lot of people are still wondering, are some of these couples still together? So can you confirm that you and Jamal are still together?
Okay, let's talk about timeline, right?
Okay.
So season 2 ends, and I had done these dates with these guys with Simonti, right? And it didn't work out. And then I say, okay, I do want this. I'm very like invested in trying to find someone. It doesn't matter which way. So let me jump on a dating app and try it out. And I literally like I go through all my friends. I try to ask them what they're using and if they would look at my profile and if it looks okay and go from there. I went out on two dates off of that. The second date happened to be this guy named Jamal, and we did go to Costco for our first date. We did talk. We did like match and talk that day and then end up going to Costco that night. So I think that's also a really key piece of it is that we matched and met immediately, and that really did work out for us. And then some of the things that you don't see is that the next morning, I think because I paid for his pizza, the next morning he called me at like 7 a.m. and he's like, hey, let's go to breakfast. And I was like, no, I have work. He's like, well, be quick, let's go. And so there was just instantly that like that connection for us. And so that was more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And you guys were both living in Miami, right?
Yeah, he lived four blocks away from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it's like it's a lot easier to kind of keep that momentum going when you can like see each other in person in 5 minutes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He was just like, I'll walk over. Let's have breakfast downstairs of your building. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally down. OK, let's go. And at that point, you don't have time to like get dressed up. So he's like, you know, we're going to have breakfast. That's what it looks like. Right. So fast forward. That's more than a year ago to today. We are still engaged.
Amazing.
We are happy, and we did watch the show together, and we both did cry at the proposal scene because we had never seen it. Jamal picking up the ring and doing all of that, never saw it. Some of the stuff that he said just really was fantastic to see back. And I will tell you that the whole process of this, you know, everything you go through, all the tiring days, everything was so worth it when we watched it together. And it really helped our relationship even more. It just pushed us into a different level watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. Love to hear that you guys make a super cute couple. I don't think that we got to see how your family reacted to the relationship, like your mom, considering like the cultural and religious differences with Jamal being Muslim, like how did your family react to meeting him, and what was that adjustment like for them?
So in our date, we talked about it slightly, and it was the idea that my mom hadn't met him yet. It was just that she had seen pictures, she had heard about him, she knew all of this stuff. So she was not... Again, like if you really think about it, like my mom might have certain views like Seema Andy, right? So you telling Seema Andy or you telling my mom that I'm dating someone that grew up Muslim is not going to go over the way that you want it to.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we were anticipating, what we were dealing with. And so they didn't meet until maybe like 5 months into our relationship. And that, too, was fine. It just was, it's always difficult because we had to travel. And then so we were like, you know, he was a guest. Mm-hmm. And it's always harder when you see someone like fully throughout the weekend. And I think like overall, if we chat with my mom, she really likes Jamal and she's happy like that I'm happy. But in the beginning, it was a very difficult process, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think, you know, you love who you love. And I think our parents are capable of coming around, like most of our parents. And I think that we should give them more credit for their ability to come around and, quote, you know, adjust. I mean, thinking through the several interfaith, interracial couples that I know, like almost all of the brown parents started off being really upset about the situation. And over
Absolutely.
Time, they grew to really love the person that their child was with.
Yeah. And that's what you guys see is like that. Those conversations on the show was at the beginning of our relationship, like they hadn't met yet. And so Seema Andy, you know, telling me to meet, introduce them all to my mom in my opinion, I don't think it was her being like, oh, your mom's going to object, so you should just introduce them. Mm-hmm. I think she was truly just like, listen, you know, if that's who you want, then I'm happy for you. Just go get married. That's what I got from it. I feel like everybody else is taking it a completely different way.
Right. Yeah. What do you admire about Jamal the most?
Oh, what a good question. So Jamal has a ton of amazing qualities, and you guys see it. He's such a smooth talker, and he really is very, like, he's very vocal on what he wants. The first couple weeks that we started dating, I think, like, the biggest quality that scared me and was very attractive to me was that he was so committed off the bat. He communicated so well, and he was committed that within like a couple weeks of us starting to date, everybody's like worried about this conversation of like, are we exclusive? Where is this going? Everybody's so scared to have that conversation. And to me, Jamal goes, I was like, okay, let's just keep dating. But like, I kind of want to just be exclusive right now and see where it goes. But, you know, he goes, no, if we're going to be exclusive, you're going to be my girlfriend. And I was like, is that what you want? And he was like, yes. I was like, can we just like feel it out for a minute? And he goes, no. He's like, either you're in or you're out. And I was like, what am I scared of? Like, why am I so scared of someone that wants to make a commitment? Yeah, and so I gave it a shot, and it was probably the best shot of my life.
Ah, amazing. I love it. There is something so attractive about a man who just like knows what he wants, isn't afraid to just make that very clear. So that's really awesome. So you met Jamal on the dating app. Were you using dating apps regularly before that? Or was that like the first time that you had downloaded the apps, like when you met him around that time?
Well, the last time I used a dating app was in Atlanta. So that would be maybe more than a year from when I used one to when I like jumped on Hinge. So yeah. So like, I mean, it's not like the first time I jump on this dating app, all of a sudden I meet Jamal in the end. Like, it's not this like crazy love story, guys. But it's definitely like, okay, I hadn't been like using a dating app. I was actually meeting people like at the dog park or like at the gym or random places that I was going to already. And that's where I was starting to date. And then I really gave process to what Seema said. And also you have to realize that I was going through my own grief. So for 6 months after my dad passed, I'm still doing this process with Seema, but I'm also like really struggling to like figure out how to deal with my own grief, you know, and you have to give time and process to that. So by the time I was ready, I jumped on that dating app was when I met Jamal. It just it happened to work out so well.
Yeah. Do you guys live together?
We do. Yes.
Okay. Do you think it's a good idea for couples to live together before they get married?
Before they get married, yes, because I will tell you they're, you know, as wonderful as Jamal is, he's also very, very annoying. And so there are like parts that we have really worked out since we started living together that we would have never had those conversations before otherwise. And those are important conversations because you can't just move in with someone and think it's perfectly fine, especially as like a person that had been living by themselves for so many years. Like, it was the biggest adjustment for me. Personally, it was fine. It was a bigger adjustment for me.
So this is the first time that you have lived with a guy.
Yeah, and we didn't move in together until we were engaged. And I'm not saying that's like the way to go. Do what works for you, right? But take your arbitrary timeline of living with someone for a year and then getting married for a year and then doing this, whatever it is in your head, and throw it out the door because it's never going to work that way.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest adjustment has been with living with a guy?
They're so dirty. Like, I don't think of myself as being like a super clean freak, but like living with Jamal, I feel super OCD now. Like, if anybody has like tips on how to get him to clean up more, please tell me. And then we both work from home. That is the hardest part, is that like we are always up in each other's stuff. Like,
yeah. Do you guys have your own offices at home?
We do, but we both like to be in the same room because that room is just like a bigger room. So we both end up like working. So when I'm on like a work call, I can hear him on his work call, like, and it's just vice versa. And it's so annoying. And we should probably stop doing that. And we are in the process of trying to buy a house, but it is just not the market at the moment. So we are waiting to get that space. But it's so much better than when I had my one bedroom. And now at least we have like a two bedroom condo.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee you guys living in Miami for the near future, at least?
You try to get Jamal to move away from Miami and that to downtown. But yeah, we're going to stay. I would like to move a little bit north of Miami, but we're going to stay in Florida for sure.
Got it. And is Jamal from Miami, like, or from Florida? Is this where his family, like, he was born and raised?
I think he's born and raised in Michigan, Grand Rapids. And so he's dealt with the cold all his life. And so now this kid, you can't even get him to put a shirt on anymore when he's...
Yeah. What are some things that you and Jamal do to prioritize and continue to invest into the relationship?
Okay, so let me tell you the cutest thing that he told me 2 days ago. So we've been like dealing with the show and all of this, right? And it's just been stressful. And so 2 days ago, he came up to me and he was like, listen, we got to slow down. He's like, we got to make time for ourselves. We got to invest in like our relationship. We got to make it better. And I was like, okay, what do you want? And he goes, every Saturday is going to be date day. And what we're going to do is the other person decides, they pick what the other person wants to do that day. So it's not that he's like, okay, let me pick what we're doing for a date. He's like, you pick what I would like to do that day. So it takes this effort of, okay, we're making a conscious choice to do something that the other person wants to do, and we want to make it a great day for them. And that way, at least once a week, we're always doing date night. And so that, to me, I think is going to be really great. And then right now, we also do, like, Sundays are one of our favorite days where we work out together. And then we go on a walk, or we go to the farmer's market, or, you know, we do a massage every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Do like a couple's massage. And so those are like the relaxing things before we start the week up again. So we do spend, you know, a lot of time together, but my favorite is when we're actually out doing things.
Yeah, I love that. Have you guys started wedding planning?
No, we're probably going to have a destination wedding, more than likely. Mm-hmm. I like a very small family-based wedding. And Jamal's side is also very small in that way. I would love to invite everybody that has shown us love, but that's not going to happen. I don't have that money. So we are not yet started, but another thing that will warm your heart, is that Jamal wants to get started right away with wedding planning. We've just been keeping our engagement so quiet for so long that we are in the process of ready to start planning. And there's just a lot of emotions that come with that. But right. Yeah, we haven't started yet, but we want to.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have been engaged for over a year, right, at this point?
We've been engaged 9 months.
Okay. So basically, you had to kind of keep your engagement under wraps for the show up until this point, right?
Yeah, like our family, some of our family knew, like the immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the extended family found out when they watched the show. So that was a fun thing to tell them.
Yeah.
And like a couple of our close friends knew. And to the point that, like, you know, I never stopped wearing my ring. And there's all these like articles about it because there are pictures of me just wearing it. Because why would you stop?
Right.
So, we've been quiet except for the people that have been around us and that know. Mm-hmm.
Have you started scoping out wedding destinations, or is that still to be explored?
To be determined. And, you know, honestly, I think I'm going to leave a lot of this up to my followers. I've gotten so much love, and I want to kind of throw it back at them and ask them for their advice, because a lot of these people coming and sending me messages say, you know, they're married to a Muslim, mm-hmm. or they're Muslim and they're married to a Hindu, or they have an interfaith, a different, you know, religious wedding. And so I want to ask, I want people to freely give me their advice, because this is the first time that I'm wedding planning. So I just want to see like what type of ceremonies everybody's done. Like, is it secular? Is it religious? And I want to mm-hmm. ask like the locations, and I truly want to throw up a ton of polls and questions and see what people say. And if you don't like wedding content, you're probably not going to.
Cool. All right. Last few questions. So you're in your early 30s. I'm in my early 30s too, but I would love for you to share, like, you know, you've kind of navigated the dating world and you found love after focusing on your career and like personal goals. What advice would you give to women who may be feeling discouraged or impatient while waiting for their own person to come along?
You have to love yourself before you can let somebody else love you. And that is the hardest thing to accept, because in everybody's mind, you're like, I already love myself. Mm-hmm. But when you start dating and you don't have that confidence that, like, I deserve this and I deserve that, and you just kind of date anybody because you feel like, okay, they're attractive and I'm good with them, then you aren't doing yourself a justice. And that's where, like, you end up in these, like, toxic relationships. And trust me, I've been there, right? So I get that. But from my perspective, when I really focused on myself and I'm like, I don't need a single person in my life. And if I'm going to add you to my life and it's going to be a phenomenal person that makes, mm-hmm. like, my life great. Because at this time, like, I could have kids on my own if I really wanted to, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much technology. I don't need to keep a man around if I don't want them. So if you come in with that mindset, you're going to be super picky, which is going to be the advice that C-Monty's going to tell you never to do. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, that's what worked out for me, is because I was picky and I was willing to be flexible on, like, some of the physical attributes and things like that. Only because I knew what I wanted for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I feel like I didn't really start, like, really prioritizing dating until it was in my late 20s. And, like, sometimes people ask me if I regret it or if I wish that I'd started earlier. And I'm like, absolutely not, because I feel like those years were so valuable just in terms of building up my own sense of identity, whether that's through, like, career, travels, like, passions, you know, like, hobbies and things like that. And I feel like that allows you to show up so much more when that relationship does come. What is something that is bringing you a lot of joy right now?
Okay, so what is something that's bringing me a lot of joy right now? I would say, so I was super happy with my single life in every aspect of it, but Jamal brings me a lot of joy, and I don't think that people realize the amount of happiness that being with someone that truly, like, respects you and is committed to you means, like, to your life. And, like, honestly, it's, yeah, we see it. Like, there are people, like, in our DMs and testing both of us, but at the end of the day, we still choose each other, and we didn't do this show to, like, leave and, you know, pick up somebody else. We're very committed to each other. And that's what is causing me so much joy, is that we still, at the end of the day, no matter who is testing us, we are choosing to be with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love the way that you, I think you put it on the show, was like, you really feel like he adds to your life. And I think that's, like, a really good way to sum up in a single sentence. They're adding to your life in so many different ways, right? Like, emotional support, shared experiences, attraction, vision, and all of that.
That so, emotional support is so real, because I am not an emotional person and he is. So it's usually me giving him that emotional support, right? But, like, lately from the show and everything, he's been the one that's given it back to me. And so to see, like, different levels of our relationship itself, to know that, like, so, you know, your relationship goes through so many ups and downs. People have losses in their own relationship. People lose their job. People, you know, like, have children. Like, there's so many ups and downs. To know that your person is there to back you no matter what is truly critical.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good place to wrap up. Arthi, where can people find you? Plug your Instagram and your social media.
So my Instagram is Arthi H. Lawani. And I definitely say the white version of my name. So for all the Indian people, it's Arthi H. Lawani. And you can find me on Insta.
Thank you, Arthi, for coming on the show. I'm so excited for our audience to hear this.
Perfect. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.